Study together, we will be blessed as we study God's Word. But we're also here not only to study together, but also to encourage one another. So we invite you to stay afterwards and be friendly to one another and get acquainted with one another, because that is also a very important part of why we come together each time. And we would invite you to be back this evening, if you can, at 5 p.m. We would strongly encourage and like to see more of you attending that service and the Wednesday evening services and the Bible classes that we have, opportunities that we all have to grow and to be involved in the work of the Lord together here. There's a question that we want to look at this morning from the book of Psalms, as a question that I believe is very relevant to the events that are unfolding in our world today. And that is the question: if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? We find that question in the 11th Psalm. And this psalm was written by David at a time in his life which is uncertain. But it is evident from the context of this psalm that he was in danger from his enemies. We know there are several times in David's life when that was true, when he was being pursued by King Saul, for example, would be a time that would fit the context of what we read about here. Later on, there was the uprising of his own son Absalom against him. There were enemies that he had from other nations around about him that sought his life. And so he was writing this psalm out of that fear, or out of that feeling that his life was in danger. And he was being given some advice by some of his friends, advising him what he should do in that. But he actually did not agree with that advice that was given to him. And we always need to realize that when well-meaning friends give us advice, that it's certainly good to listen to that, but we need to go to God before we make a decision on whether advice that people give us is the right advice. We need to pray for wisdom and think carefully of what would be the will of God in this. So that is what we see, a message about that here in this book, where David begins to, instead of listening to the advice of his friends, puts his trust in God and encourages us all to do that at the same time. We are living today in troublesome times. As one of the songs that we sometimes sing, "Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear, now is at stake." We live in those times today in our country and in our world, where many things that are happening, we have to choose between fear or faith. To either walk by sight or to walk by faith. To listen to the advice of people or to listen to the wisdom that is from God. It is a challenge that is always going to be a part of our lives, that we need to make choices in life, and we need to live by faith, and we need to put our trust in God, certainly always, to be able to live the life that would be glorifying to Him. But I think it is true that our way of life is under attack today in our country here. And by that I'm referring to our freedoms that we have, but also our moral values and the entire meaning of what we have known in our lifetimes up to a certain point. Those things are being put under attack. And we might be like the ostrich and stick our head in the sand and pretend it's not happening. But the fact of the matter is, things are changing in our world. Things are being put to the test, and we need to be awake, and we need to be aware that some of these things that are happening, it calls for a response from God's people, that we need to be wise and we need to be people who have the faith that we profess to have to rise to the occasion of the times that we're living in and be able to be people of faith and people of God that have the proper response when things arise in our world today. In the 11th Psalm, beginning with verse 1, we find that David said, "In the Lord I put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow on the string, that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart." Verse 3, "If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do?" Now I think that if we look at this in context, that the question as it was being asked here within the context seems to actually be being asked by David's friends. That they are putting that thought forward based on these other things that are said here in verses 1 and 2. That David's life is under danger. That there is a time when people, the wicked, are putting the arrow on the bow to shoot at him, whether literally or figuratively. But their advice that they are drawing from that is that he should flee to the mountains. The only safe place that he could escape would be to run for his life and go somewhere and hide in the mountains, which in the land of Canaan and Palestine was basically a pretty good strategy of safe places that you could hide there. But they are the ones who are asking the question, I think, in verse 3, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? In other words, what else can you do, David, but go and run to the mountains? There's nothing left. You know, the foundations are being destroyed. Your life is in danger. You cannot be secure that justice is going to be carried out here. And so what can you do? You need to run. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? They're basically saying there is nothing that they can do except flee for their safety. David did not agree with that counsel. Even though this is a wonderful question, and it's one that we need to ponder today in our world, what can the righteous do if the foundations are destroyed? In other words, if the worst thing happens in our world today, and you can think of different scenarios what that might be, but if the foundations are destroyed, the things that we take our security from, the things that our lives are built around, if those things were to be destroyed, what can the righteous do in a situation like that? And so it is a serious thought, it is a serious question. And David's answer is, there is something that the righteous can do. Even in the most disturbing times and trials of life, there is always something that the righteous can do. We don't have to go running to the mountains, even though that thought might be comforting at times. And sometimes I hear Christians say things like that, oh man, we need to move to Texas. You know, we've got some people from Texas here, and if there is a place that is still got some semblance of moral concern in our country today, I think Texas is probably where you're going to find it. And I hear people sometimes today saying, boy, we just better pack up and move to Texas. Things are getting pretty bad around here. David did not agree with that counsel, is what I want you to see this morning. David had nothing against Texas, don't get me wrong. But the idea that when things go wrong, the only thing left for righteous people to do is head for the hills. When we think about that, what should David do? There's a question of fear here that is being posed. And a response of fear is being suggested. That the answer here that is being suggested is flee to the mountains. Flee as a bird to the mountains. And his answer is, how can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to the mountain? How can you say that to me? I put my trust in God. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to the mountain? So he doesn't agree with that. He doesn't think that that is the right answer for him to do, as well as it may have been well-meaning friends that are concerned about his safety. Still, it isn't the right advice. It isn't what he wants to do. Now, there is time that fleeing is the right thing to do. For example, when temptation. That fleeing from temptation is exactly what the Scripture tells us to do. And we have the example of Joseph in Genesis chapter 39, where he was tempted by Potiphar's wife, and he did the right thing. He fled from the scene. And in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22, Paul says, flee youthful lusts. That is a proper strategy for a godly Christian person if we're being tempted to flee from that temptation, but not from the place of duty. We are not supposed to do that. We're not supposed to flee from the place of duty. Especially when you are a leader. When you are in a position of leadership that other people are looking to you for leadership, as David was, for him to flee to the mountains would be the wrong thing for him to do. And I think he recognized that. Jesus in John chapter 10 said that he was a good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But the hireling, who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. So Jesus is pointing out there that when you are a leader, when you are in a position of trust and responsibility, that you cannot just go running away from problems. Because to do that is saying you don't care about the flock. You don't care about anyone else but yourself. And that is not the way for a leader to be. It's not the way for a man of God to be. David said, I put my trust in God. How can you say to my soul, flee to the mountains as a bird? Now they pointed out the fact that the danger that there was here was that, as they said there in verse 2, for look, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow on the string, that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. This points out, I believe, that there were words of deceptive dishonesty that were being said behind David's back, that there were people that were out to get him. And they were going to go about that in deceitful ways. To the upright in heart, they were going to attack him. They were going to, if possible, kill him. We know that David, on one occasion, or King Saul threw a javelin at David, and that he took his trained troops and went out seeking his life. David did go into shelter for a time there, where he was with his men, and they were out in the wilderness area of Judea, and sometimes they stayed in caves. But nevertheless, the reason for that was because he knew that he was going to become the king, but it wasn't time for him to do that yet. Anyway, they're saying that your enemies are plotting your death, so you need to run for your life and escape. But David is saying, no, I really can't do that. So if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The idea behind that is the very foundation of Saul's government was being destroyed. King Saul was the king of Israel, but what kind of a man was King Saul? Well, the true colors were beginning to emerge of what kind of a man he really was. He was not a man of God. He was not a man that you could depend on to do the right thing. And so if the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? And David was upright in heart. David was righteous. So therefore, what could he do in this situation? If we apply that question to ourselves today, if the foundations are being shaken, and they are, I believe, in our world today, Let's talk about our government for a moment. Our government is not what it has been in the past. We are proud to be Americans. We are proud for the freedoms and thankful for the freedoms that we have. But our government has drifted a long ways from where it began. And the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34, that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And if the foundations are being destroyed, that our nation does not stand for the principles that it once stood for, what can the righteous do? We could go on and on about things that are happening in our government today that are things that are shameful from a biblical point of view. Whether it be abortion, whether it be the encouragement of the homosexual lifestyle, many things that are happening today. The movement, the push for a socialist government to take care of everyone from cradle to grave and basically run our lives for us. So if that is being done away with, what can we do? The economic security that is the basis of our security, of our life, we are living in a time where that is under attack. And Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So we understand we cannot put our trust in our security, in our economic, financial situation. We have to seek higher source of faith in God and laying up treasures in heaven. The family institution is another foundation that is being shaken in our world today. The one man and one woman for life, and the integralness of the family unit in our society. Whenever the family breaks apart, civilizations break apart with her. And there are humanists out there today that are advocating, fine and dandy, let it go, we don't need it. But if the family breaks apart, then our society is in real danger. And dependence upon God. We have been professed to be one nation under God. And now we hear that being attacked every single time it gets brought up. That you can't say that. You can't be saying that we are one nation under God. What about the people that don't believe in God? We don't want to step on their toes or offend anyone. So the foundations of our fabric, of our civilization, are under attack. They're falling down. And so what can the righteous do? The answer of faith. David presents the answer of faith here, beginning with verse 4. And he begins by saying, "The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids test the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the ones who love violence His soul hates. Upon the wicked He will rain coals, fire and brimstone, and a burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright." First thing that David says we all need to remember is we need to remember who God is. The Lord is in His holy temple. We may not see Him. He may not be visible to us. We may see things happening around us that might make us question, where is God? What has happened to God? Where is He gone? And David is pointing out the fact that he is right where he has always been. He's not going anywhere. The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 20 points that out. But David said the Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. It's not here on the earth. And His throne is secure. And nothing that is going on here on earth is threatening the throne of God. Everything is fine in heaven. And so why should we leave and go anywhere else? The Lord hasn't gone anywhere. So David says, I'm not going anywhere either. No matter what my enemies are saying to me, I am secure. I am staying right where I belong. The second thing that he says is we need to remember what God sees. He sees everything. His eyelids behold the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteous. So God is all-seeing, all-knowing, and He takes in everything that is happening here. Both of the wicked and the righteous. He tests the wicked, He tests the righteous. He tests the sons of men, and that includes each one of us. So therefore, the things that are happening, God is able to use that as a test of our faith and to determine the righteous from the wicked. He knows exactly who are His people and who are not. And His soul hates the wicked, the one who loves violence. He points that out here, that God loves those who are upright, but He hates those who are wicked. The destiny of the wicked that God is pointing to is that upon the wicked He will rain coals, fire, and brimstone, and burning wind. We remember in the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, the way that God destroyed those wicked cities in Genesis chapter 19. And we're told in the book of Revelation that God will reserve the wicked for judgment in that way, in a similar way to that. He said in Revelation chapter 9 and verse 17, the heads of the horses were heads of lions. Out of their mouth came fire and smoke and brimstone. And he goes on to talk about that in the book of Revelation, the judgment that he is going to bring upon earth. The smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever. They have no rest day or night. Those who worship the beast in his image and whoever receives the mark of his name. So God is going to deal with the wicked. But those who love God and favor God, the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. And he beholds the upright. Certainly God is watching over each one of us. And he knows who his people are. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, it says, "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." So God is weighing the events that are happening in our lives. He is testing each one of us. And eventually He will bring forth a righteous judgment upon earth. He will deal with those who are wicked. And He will honor and bless those who are upright in heart, as David was. There's a reason for our faith. There's a reason that we can take confidence in God, and when things are falling down around us in our society, that we still are very confident of the solid foundations that God has placed. The Word of God will never be destroyed. We have that assurance that is given to us in the Bible that God, in His Word, will not be done away with. God's Word will endure. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verses 7 and 8, the grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Secondly, the work of Christ will never be destroyed. His death upon the cross, His resurrection, His sacrifice that is perfect and sufficient for the forgiveness of our sins. In Hebrews chapter 9, he deals with this at length there. And he says, Hebrews chapter 9 and 27 and 28, "For Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself to appear before the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often as the high priest enters the most holy place every year. He would then have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation." And our hope in Christ will never be destroyed. We're told in Hebrews chapter 6 that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope before us. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. These are solid foundations that God has established, and we do not have to fear that things that are happening in our world today, we have to give up. It is distressing, it is concerning that in the last few years, I would say in the last 10 years, there has been a shift of public feelings of right and wrong in our country today, and polls bear that out. That 10 years ago, for example, the number of people who would think that it was wrong for two people of the same sex to be married was a great majority of people. Now the poll is taken of the same thing in our society. It's shifted around, and the majority of people now are saying, well, I think it probably is a good thing, you know, to have same-sex marriages. So the pressure that is being put, the way that people are being taught in the media and so forth, a lot of people are shifting over in that direction of thinking. God's Word hasn't changed. And nothing that should happen should cause us to be changing what we believe, what truth is. In Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 16, "Therefore thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily." And of course, that is Jesus Christ. God has set Jesus Christ as the precious cornerstone, the sure foundation for our faith. So this morning, as we live in a time that is trying and testing of our faith, there is a message that we can take from David that if the foundation are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The answer is look to God, who is securely sitting on His throne. Put our trust in Him, knowing that He is beholding the righteous and he will love and honor and bless the righteous as he has promised to do. We're going to stand and sing the invitation song this morning. If you are here and you need to obey the gospel of Christ, you need to come forward and confess your faith that you believe in Jesus, to repent of your sins, to confess your faith and be baptized this morning, we are going to stand and sing the invitation song to encourage you, invite you to do that. We invite you to come as we stand together and sing.